B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Nun Hey. We're going to start from the last line of Daf Nun Dalad Omid Beis. Says the Gemara, not ales adam mi shememaris boi v'chulei. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Omid Beis, that the next step of the avodah of the Kohen Gadol was that he's got to go back to the person who was stirring the blood of the bull in order that it shouldn't congeal, in order to now be able to then take this blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkle it between the Badei HaOrin, in the place where between the poles of the Orin. Says the Gemara, Mai Kematzlif, because we saw there in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that he takes the blood from that person, and he's nichnas, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, etc. V'hizomimenu, and he sprinkles from it, achas lemalo v'sheva lemato, once up, seven down. V'loi hoyo miskavin lehazis, loi lemalo v'loi lemato. And it's not as if he particularly sprinkled onto the thickness of the width, the depth of the kapires, which was the cover of the orin. No elo kematzlif. When he would sprinkle, he would make a row of blood, and the blood would actually fall on the floor. With every time he sprinkled, the blood was, every spot or every sprinkle, the blood was a little bit closer to him, a little bit further away from the orin, creating a line of blood. And the lemalo and the lemato just means that the position that his hand was on, that his hand was in, as we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, "My kematzlif?" It says that when he would sprinkle the blood, it would be done kematzlif. What does that mean? Machvir Rav Yehuda demonstrated it's kemenagdano. It's like somebody who gives somebody else whips, that he doesn't give whips on the same spot every time he whips, rather every time he moves further down on a different spot. And so too, when he was sprinkling the blood, every time that they would sprinkle a drop of blood, allowing it to fall on the floor, it would fall in a different position than the one before. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kashahu maze, einu maze ala kapiris, elo keneged oivyoshel kapiris. He wouldn't sprinkle on top of the cover of the orin. We'll soon have to see what the source for that would be. But when he wouldn't sprinkle on top of the cover, it would just be towards and opposite the thickness shel kapiris, towards the side, the thickness of the kapires. Or kashu maze lemalo, when he has to do the achas lemalo, one up, mitzadid yodoi lemato, then the back of his hand is facing down, and his finger is facing up. Or kashu maze lemato, when he's got to do the seven sprinkles lemato, downwards, mitzadid yodoi lemalo, then the back of his hand is facing upwards. Asks the Gemara, minoha namili, what would be the source that one does not sprinkle on top of the kapiris? Omer v'achar b'yakev, omer b'zira, omer kro. It says in the posuk, v'hizo oisoi, that he sprinkles it al hakapiris, onto the cover of the, on top of the orin, v'lifnei hakapiris, in front of the cover of the kapiris. And the question is, and before we see the Gemara, let's become familiar with these two psukim. There's going to be a posuk Tezvov, and before it, a posuk Yud Dalet. Posuk Tezvov is going to speak about the sprinkling of the soir, of the goat, the blood of the goat. Posuk Yud Dalet speaks about the sprinkling of the blood of the bull that was done first. As we saw in the Mishnah, that he first sprinkles the blood of the bull, and then he actually shechts the soyer and takes the blood of the soyer and does the same to the soyer, to the blood of the soyer, as he did with the blood of the bull. So we have to really familiarize ourselves with these two psukim. In Posuk Tezvov, the second of these two psukim, where it speaks about the soyer, the goat, it says in the Posuk that in Posuk Tezvov, it says, also as domo, you should do with the blood of the goat, kasher also ledam apor, the same as he does with the blood of the power of the bull, which is in Pasuk Yudalit. But that really would suffice. Really, it should just tell us how many sprinkles to do with the blood of the bull. And then in the Pasuk, that's in Pasuk Yudalit, and in Pasuk Tezvav, it should just say, do the same with the blood of the sawyer. That's not what happens. If we look well in the Pasuk, the end of these two psukim are actually split up into four. Each one has two parts. In the Pasuk Yud Dalet that speaks about the par, it says, V'lokach midam apor, V'hizo be'etzboi al pnei ha-kapoires keidmo. That's one. V'lifnei ha-kapoires yaze sheva pa'omim. What does it mean, al pnei ha-kapoires keidmo? It means that he's sprinkling the blood facing the kapoires keidmo towards the mizrach, and that is talking about the lemalo, the al pnei, the achas lemalo. And then you've got v'lifnei ha-kapoires yaze sheva pa'omim, that's before the kapoires you should sprinkle seven times, that is the sheva lemato, the seven which is down. So we have in the pasuk regarding the bull, we have al pnei ha-kapoires keidmo, which is the al, which is the lemalo, the upwards sprinkle, but the pasuk gives us no indication how many times. However, regarding the v'lifnei ha-kapoires, the seven which is before the kapoires facing downwards, it says explicitly yaze sheva pa'omim. So we have the pasuk yudalet with the bull, where regarding the lemalo, it doesn't tell us how many. Regarding the lemato, it tells us seven. Let's move to the pasuk tezvov with the soir. It says v'hizo oisoi al ha-kapoires. And this is the, again, it's ala kapoires, it's the upward sprinkle. And here it says vehizo in singular tense. But the par in pasuk yudalad, it doesn't say, it just says al pnei ha-kapoires keidmo, it doesn't tell us how many. But regarding pasuk tezvov, the soir, it says vehizo oisoi, a single hizo, a single sprinkle upwards. V'lifnei ha-kapoires, lifnei ha-kapoires again is referring to what's done before the kapoires, which is the lemato, and it doesn't tell us how many. So the soir singles out that the upward hazor is one, but the par it singles out that the downwards, the lemato, is seven. The lemato by the soir and the lemalo of the par, the pasuk doesn't seem to tell us how many. That's the basic framework of this pasuk, of these two psukim, and we have to remember that it does introduce in pasuk tezvav, it says v'also es domoi kasha also ledam apar, that the soyer should have the same procedure with the blood as with the bull. So let's see now what Reb Zeira says. Omer kro, it says in the pasuk v'hizo oisoi, and this is the pasuk tezvav regarding the soyer. It says v'hizo oisoi, the single hazor al hakapires, which is the achas lemalo, v'lifnei hakapires, and in front of the kapires, and this is referring to the sprinkles lemato. Lo yoimar lemato besoir. Why do you have to say at all in the posuk of the soir v'lifnei kapires? In any case, the amount of sprinkles that you're going to do lemato, it doesn't say. You're going to have to learn that out from v'lifnei kapires yaza sheva pa'omim, that it says by the blood of the bull in posuk yudalad. So the words v'lifnei ha-kapoires are superfluous. It says in the pasuk v'also es domoi kasha also ledam apar, and you in any case have to learn from the par. So why does it say these two words v'lifnei ha-kapoires at all? So says the Gemara, d'lo tzorich d'gomar mimato d'par, because we're going to have to learn from the lemato d'par, the v'lifnei ha-kapoires yad sheva pa'omim. So lomo nemar. So why does it say the lemato by the soyer? Lakushe al lelifnei, because we want to compare the al when it says v'hizo oisoi al hakapoires to the lifnei where it says v'lifnei hakapoires. That the al hakapoires is talking about the lemalo, the lifnei hakapoires is talking about the lemato, and since it didn't have to say lifnei hakapoires, we can therefore learn the lifnei hakapoires is teaching us something about the al. That in the same way, ma lifnei, before, when you do something before something else, meaning as in front of it, it means not on it, it means before it. So in the same way as the lifnei ha-kapoires is before it and not on it, the lav al, that lifnei means not on, it means before it, af al, also too, when it speaks about the lemalo by the soir, when it says v'hizo oisei al ha-kapoires, it means the lav al. It doesn't mean al, it doesn't mean on it, absolutely on it, it means facing it. So that is the source, that when you do the achas lemalo, and it doesn't mean on top of the kapoires, no, because we learn out from v'lifnei kapoires, which was superfluous, that the al ha-kapoires doesn't mean al on its literal sense. Elo adarabba, lo yoimar. Now the Gemara is saying the other way around. I can rearrange this to learn just the other way around. Because what did we just say now? That the lifnea kapoires, which is the lemato by the soir, is superfluous because it doesn't tell us how many. So we learn how many from the par, that from the par it says, v'lifnei kapoires yazeh sheva pa'omim. So that would teach us how many times you have to do the hazor lemato by the soir. Why does it say v'lifnei kapoires by soir? To teach us that the al hakapoires by soir is not al mamash. But you can learn it the other way around as well. Adarabba, lo yoimar lemalo bepar. In regarding the lemalo, the al pnei kapoires kedmo by the par in pasuk yudalad, it doesn't tell us how many. And in any case, how are you going to know that it's achas lemalo? You learn that from the al hakapoires by the soyer in pasuk tezvov, where it says v'hizo oisoi in singular tense. So lo yoima lemalo bepar de lo yitzorich. I don't need to. Why are you writing al pnei kapoires kedmo at all by the par? Just say de gomar mimailo de soyer, because we're going to learn out from the lemailo v'hizo oisoi al hakapoires that it says by the soyer. So lomo nemar. So why does it say the al pnei kapoires kedmo by the par? La kushe is to make a hekesh to compare lifnei leal. To compare the al pnei kapoires kedmo by the bull to the lifnei kapoires yazeh sheva pa'omim of the par. Lahakish lakushe lifnei la'al. Ma'al al mamush. Since by the par it says al pnei kapoires kedmo, what would al mean? Al means, because the al is the one which is not needed. I don't need to say al pnei kapoires kedmo because the pasuk there doesn't tell us how many lemailo by the par, and we have to learn that from the soyer. So if al is superfluous, is there to teach us something? Al, normally al means on top. So in the same way as al pnei kapoires means on top, af lifnei, also when it says that on the sheva lemato, lifnei kapoires yaz sheva pa'omim, it's al mamash. So then we would learn from the par, instead of learning from the lifnei kapoires of soyer to the al kapoires of soyer, that it's not al mamash, learn from the al pnei kapoires kedmo of the par to the lifnei kapoires yazeh sheva pa'omim of the par, that it's actually on the kapoires itself. Af lifnei al mamash. Says the Gemara, hi, my. We can't, that wouldn't work. Why? Because if we're going to say, like we wanted to say initially, that lemato de soyer la'akushe, are you going to say that the lemato of by the soyer in Perek Tezvov, where it says v'lifnei kapoires, which is superfluous, is going to teach us that the v'hizo isi ala kapoires is not al mamash, like we wanted to learn initially? Then lemailo de par, the words al pnei kapoires kedmo, by the par, that which is superfluous also, miboili look at the Tana de Berib Elozer ben Yaakov, I've got something to do with that. Lemailo by the par, the Tana de Berib Elozer ben Eliezer ben Yaakov, al pnei kapoires kedmo, ze bono'ov, it's there to teach us, it's a rule, that kol mokim shenemar pnei, whenever it says pnei, lifnei, before, it means einu elo kodim, it means on the Mizrach side, as it says here, al pnei kapoires kedmo. Eino elo kodim, elo I omrus, if you're going to say lemailo de par la kushe, that is the lemailo of par, al pnei kapoires kedmo, which is unnecessary. And you learn from there that in the same way as al pnei kapoires kedmo is al mamash, so to the lifnei kapoires yazeh sheva pa'omim is al mamash, then we're going to have an issue. What are we going to do with the lifnei kapoires by the soyer? Lemato. Which is the lifnei kapoires de soyer lemai also. I've got nothing to do with it. So it must be like we learned initially, that we learn that the lifnei kapoires yazeh sheva pa'omim teaches us how that is sheva lemato, and therefore the lifnei kapoires by the soyer is superfluous, and we learn from the lifnei kapoires by the soyer that it's lifnei but not al, to tell us that when it does say al, it also doesn't mean al. You're going to ask what you're going to do with the pasuk of al pnei kapoires kedmo by the par. That's going to be used to tell us that whenever it says pnei, it means mizrach. Another Gemara is going to discuss another issue with these two psukim. Tanu Rabbanon, v'hizo oyisoy al hakapires. That was the first half of Pasuk Tezvav. V'lifnei hakapires. That's the second half of Pasuk Tezvav. L'madnu kamo l'maylo. So from there, from the v'hizo oyisoy al hakapires, which it says in singular tense, we know that it's achas l'maylo besoyer. That's Pasuk Tezvav. Achas. Lemato by Sawyer, however, the Lifnea Kapiris, which is the Lemato by Sawyer, Einu Yudea Kamo, it doesn't tell us in the Pasuk how many. Hareini Don. So we're going to use some logic. Nemru Domim Lemato by Par. Regarding the Par, the Pasuk associates, or the Pasuk speaks about the Lemato, where it says in the Pasuk, Velifnea Kapiris, Yaze Sheva Pa'omim. V'nemru domim lemato b'soyer. It also speaks about the lemato by the soyer. It says v'lifnei hakapires. Ma lemato b'par. In the same way as the lifnei hakapires by the par, it says explicitly yaze sheva pa'omim, sheva. Af lemato de soyer. Also the lemato, the lifnei hakapires of the soyer is also sheva pa'omim. That would be one way of learning, that we learn from the Lemato by par, which is explicitly seven, to the lemato of soyer, that it's sheva lemato. Or you can look at it the other way. Nemru domim lemailo besoyer. It says v'hizo oisoy ala kapires. That's the lemailo by the soyer, and that's one. Clearly, v'hizo is a single achas lemailo because it's in single tense. V'nemru domim lemato besoyer, and also staying with soyer, it says v'lifnei kapires, which is the lemato, but it doesn't tell us how many. So ma lemalo besoyer achas, in the same way as v'hizo isela kapires, the lemailo besoyer is one. Af lemato besoyer achas, so too the lemato besoyer will be one. So that means we have a question like this: the lemailo by soyer is explicit that it's one v'hizo. The lemato by power is explicit seven. V'lifnei kapires yaze sheva pa'omim. We don't know. How much is the lemato by soyer? Do we learn it out from the lemato by par and it's seven, or do you learn it out from the lemailo by soyer and it's one? Nera lemi doime, says the Gemara. Donin mato mi mato. Would you rather learn lemato from mato, and the same way as the lemato by the par is seven, v'lifnei kapires yaze sheva pa'omim, so too the lifnei kapires of pasuk tezvav, the lemato by soyer is also seven times. Vein don in mato milemailo, but we don't learn lemato by soyer from the lemailo by soyer. Says the Gemara, no, I've got a different logic. Adarabba, don in gufoi migufoi, we should learn soyer from soyer. Learn the lemato of soyer from the lemailo of soyer. Lemailo of soyer is one, so too lemato of soyer is one. Vein don in gufoi me'alma, but don't learn a detail of the soyer of the goat, or the lemato of goat, from a par, which is a different animal, a different korban. Talmud loimar, that's what it says in the Pasuk. What do we learn in the Pasuk? The beginning of the Pasuk, Tezvav, v'osa es domoi kasher osa ledam hapor. You do with the blood of the soyer exactly what you do with the blood of the par. Shein Talmud loimar kasher osa. Why does the Pasuk have to tell us that the same as you do with the par, that's what you do by the soyer? That would all be very good if the Torah wouldn't explicitly tell us what to do by the soyer. But straight after that, the Pasuk continues and tells us by the soyer, v'hizo isoy ala kapires, which means echod lemailo, v'lifnei kapires and lemato. So the Torah already tells us explicitly by the soyer that there's lemailo and lemato. As the Torah explicitly says by the par, there's lemailo al pnei kapires kedmo and lemato lifnei kapires yazesheva pa'omim. So why do I need to say v'oso es domi kasha oso ledam hapor? Ma Talmud lo imakasha oso sheyu kol asiyos of shavos. The Torah wants to impress on us that everything has to be identical. And kashem she lemato b'par, in the same way as the lemato by the par is v'lifnei kapires yazesheva pa'omim b'sheva kach lemato b'soyer sheva. So too, the lemato by the soyer is seven. It says only lifnei kapires, but we learn lemato from lemato by the par. That is sheva. So the Gemara says lematnu kamo lemato bapar. We know ubesoyer sheva. So now we know that by the power of the Lemato Sheva, it's explicit. By the Lemato, by the Soir, we just said we learned from the power that it's seven. Lemailo Bepar, Ein Yodea Kamo. The Lemailo by the Soir, we know it's one. It says Vehizo Isaela Kapiris. It says that it's in single tense. But the Alpnea Kapiras Kedmo, the Lemailo by the Par, we don't yet know how many. And here again we're going to have a question. Are we going to compare Lemailo by the Par to Lemailo of the Soir and it's one? Or are you going to compare the Lemailo of the Par to the Lemato of the Par and it will be seven? Ein Yodea Kamo. Vareni Don. Nemru Domim Lemailo Besoir. By the Soir explicitly speaks about Mailo and Mato. Vihizo Isaela Kapiras is Mailo. And it also speaks explicitly by the Lemailo al Pnei HaKapiras Kedmo, by the power, we just don't know how many. Ma Lemailo b'soir, in the same way as by the soir, the Lemailo is achas, as it says, v'hizo Yisrael HaKapiras, af Lemailo b'par achas, we compare Mailo to Mailo. That's one way of looking at it. Oy klach l'derech zeh, do it the other way around. Nemru domim lemato, it says, which is the Lemato of the Par, the Par. And by the Par it says Alpanea Kapiras Kedmo, which is the Lemailo by the Par. Ma Lemato Bepar Sheva, Af Lemailo Bepar Sheva. So again, the question is, are we comparing Mailo of Par to Mailo of Soyer, and then it's one? Or are we comparing Mailo of Soyer to the Lemato of Par, to the Lemato of Par, and then it will be seven? So the Gemara says, Nero le midoima, donin mailo mi mailo, vein donin mailo mi mato. It would seem logical to compare mailo to mailo, and it's one, rather than comparing mailo to mato, and it'll be seven. Says the Gemara, no. Adarabba, donin gufoi mi gufoi. It makes more sense to compare the mailo of par to the lemato of par, and it'll be seven, vein donin gufoi mi alma, not to learn out the mailo of par from soyer, which is a different carbon. Talmud Leimer, again, the Pasuk says at the beginning of Pasuk Tezvov, V'oso is domi kasher oso. You should do to the blood of the soyer exactly what you did with the blood of the par. She'in Talmud Leimer kasher oso, I didn't need to say kasher oso because the Torah explicitly mentions Milo and Mato both by the soyer and the par. Uma Talmud Leimer kasher oso, she'u kolas yosef shovis. As we said before, the Pasuk is telling us that everything you do to one has to be identical with the other. K'shem she'lemato b'par, in the same way as by the par, the lemato is sheva pa'omim, kach lemato b'soir. This we already saw before. This was the first half of this Gemara. That we saw that the lemato, the lefnei kapoiris of soir, is seven. And so too, kach lemato b'soir sheva. U'k'shem she'lemailo b'soir achas, in the same way as the lemailo of the soyer is one, as it says for his oise, and this is what we're discussing here, kach lemailo bepar acha, so too the alpnei kapiras kedmo, that it says by par, must be just one and not seven. So we first had a Gemara that discusses whether al means al mamish or al means before it. That was the first discussion. And then the Gemara had the second discussion about how many lemato there is by soyer and how many lemailo there is by par. The conclusion is, as we see in the Mishnah, achas lemailo v'sheva lemato, both by the soyer and by the par, and that al is lav dafka, it's not al mamish, it's only towards the kapoires, but the drops are all falling on the floor in the line, one below the other, one further away from the orin than the other, and the lemailo ones is the finger facing up, and lemato is the finger facing down. Continues the Gemara. Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim. We saw in the Mishnah, how did he count? He would count achas, meaning one, referring to the one up, and then he would keep counting the one up with every one down. Achas, one up, v'achas, the first one down, achas, one up, v'shtayim, the second one down, achas, one up, v'sholish, the third one down. He would keep mentioning the achas. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in the Braisa, achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish, achas v'arba, achas v'chomish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva, divi Reb Meir, and that's the opinion we saw in our Mishnah. Reb Yehuda Omer. Reb Yehuda's got a different way of counting. Achas, everyone says you first say achas for the achas lemalo, and then he says, achas v'achas, the first of the lemato together with achas, one lemailo. And then shtayim v'achas, the second lemato after the achas lemailo. And then sholish v'achas, the third lemato after the achas lemailo. Arba v'achas, chomish v'achas, sheish v'achas, sheva v'achas. So they're arguing, is the one, which is the general one, is that the one which is mentioned first in the numbers, or was it mentioned last? V'loy pligi, and they're not really arguing. There's no halachic machlokes here. Elo umarki asrei, umarki asrei. That in the place of Reb Meir, they would always mention the klal, the generalization first, and then the prat. When they would say 21, they would say esrim v'achas, not achas v'esrim. They would say esrim v'shtayim for 22, not shtayim v'esrim. However, in the place of Reb Yehuda, they would first say the units and then the tens. For 22, they would say shtayim v'esrim. For 23, they would say sholosh v'esrim. And therefore, the Reb Yehuda says you mention the units first, the details first, and then the more general, like parallel to corresponding to tens. But the achas lemalo is a more generalization. The lemato has seven details, and that was mentioned last. According to Reb Yehuda, it's mentioned first. The Kule Alma says the Gemara. Everybody agrees. Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda agree that Hazar Rishayna Tzuichem Minyan al Kol Achas V'Achas. You have to mention the Achas Lemailo with every one Lemato that you're sprinkling. My Tama, what would be the reason for that? Reb Loza says Shelo Yit'e B'Hazois. In order to give him time between one sprinkle and the next to refocus, what number am I up to? If you just say 1, 2, 3, he might get confused. But if every time he says achas in between, he's got those few extra the moments, that second, in order to catch himself and to make sure he's not making a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he says, no, it's not just in order to stop you making a mistake. Omar Kro, it's actually learned from a posuk. The posuk says, and this is taking us back to that posuk Yudalad by the par. It says v'lifnei kapoyres yazer sheva po'omim. What's v'lifnei kapoyres yazer? She'ein talmud leima yazer. Why does it have to say sprinkled? It already says at the beginning or earlier on in the pasuk v'hizo be'etz boy. So why does it say here again yazer? Uma talmud leima yazer limei dalazor rishoino is in order to impress on us that the achas lemailo is accompanies each one of the lemato. The lifnei kapoyres yaze sheva pa'omim, count the achas lemailo with each of the sheva pa'omim of the lemato. Limed el azor yishayna tzicha minyon im kol achas v'achas. My binayu, what would be the halachic ramification with this argument between a belozo and a b'yichanon, whether the reason is to prevent you making a mistake or the reason is because it's learned from a posuk? Ike binayu deloy mono v'loy to, if he didn't count that way, and he happened not to make a mistake. So according to Rabbi Lozo, the whole reason you count that way is not to make a mistake. Okay, you didn't make a mistake, it's kosher. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that we learn from a pasuk that you have to count, and we know that everything it says in the parash of the Avodah Yom HaKippurim is ma'akev because it says chuko. And since he says that that you have to count, and because it's learned from a pasuk, if you didn't count, it will be invalid. Continues the Gemara. Yotzo v'inichoy al kan hazov shabahechal, the Kohen Gadol would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the remaining blood of the bull in his vessel, and he would place it on the stand in the Heichal, and then he would go out and shecht the soyer. He would take the blood of the soyer and do the same in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would switch round. We saw it was a machlokes whether there was one stand or two stands, but then he would switch round. Rabbi Yehuda would say there was just one stand there, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would first take the blood of the bull that was in the stand, and then he would replace that with the blood of the goat, and he would take the blood of the bull into the heichal and sprinkle towards the curtains, as we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosom, we learnt in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Loi hoyu shoifrois lekinei choivo mepnei atar oivas. There was no, according to Rabbi Yehuda says that there were many different shoifrois. which were money boxes. When people would come to pay for korbonis that would have to be brought on their behalf, they would bring money. The money would be placed in their respective boxes. And then, by the end of the day, the kohanim would take the money out and offer up all the korbonis that had been paid for. And Rabbi Yehuda says there was no box for kinei choiva. Also, kinei is a pair of birds. And there was many different... people could come and donate birds. However, there was sometimes a set of birds that were brought as a choiva. For example, a zov, a zovo, a yeledes, or somebody who's metami mikdosh. And they had to bring a pair of birds, one of them being an oilo, one of them being a chatos. And Rabbi Yehuda says there was no box for the kinei choiva. Why? Mipnei tarivus. We're afraid that it will get confused. And that's why there was no such box. There was only a box for those kinei of those birds that were brought as a donation, which were all oilois, and nothing can go wrong. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't really tell us explicitly what you worried will get confused. Like, what's the issue? Asks the Gemara, "Mai mipnei tarivus?" So there's going to be two explanations. Omer of Yosef, Rav Yosef says that the issue is mipnei tarivus choiva benedova. We're afraid that you'll get confused with the money boxes, and you're going to use the money in the box for the choiva, which half of it is oila, half of it is chatos, and you're going to use it for a nedova, which is all oilois, or you're going to use money from the box of the oilois, of the nedovois, which are all oilois, and you're going to buy with it chatos or oilois, which is choiva, and that will be posel. And therefore, in order not to get confused, Rabbi Yehuda said, don't have any money box for the kineich, for the pairs of birds of the choiva, only the nedovois, which are all oilois. Omale Abaye. So Abaye asked, v'nevitri, why can't you have a separate box for the choiva? V'nichte v'leia, and write on the box, haidu choiva, v'haidu nedova. This box is for the obligatory sets of birds, then these are for the nedovis, the donations. These are oilois, and these are pairs of oilo and chatos. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda less leiksiva. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not good enough to rely on writing, because maybe a person won't focus and won't pay attention to what's written there, and it will still get confused. Where do we find elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda does not rely on writing? Titnan Rabbi Yehuda oimer lohoyoshom elokan achas bilvad. That we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our sugya, there was only one stand in the heichal, and there would either be the blood of the par sitting on it or the blood of the sawyer, but there were not two stands. Why? Elokan achas bilvad. Trei mai tameloi. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was there not two stands? Mishum de mechlefi. We're afraid that whilst he's switching, he'll forget which is the blood of the par, which is the blood of the sawyer. He'll confuse them, and avoida will be possible. The Gemara is asking, v'nevitrei, why don't you have two stands, according to Rabbi Yehuda? V'lichti v'lei, write on them, haide par, v'haide sawyer. This stand is for the blood of the bull, and this stand is for the blood of the goat. Why can't you do that? Elol Rabbi Yehuda less leksiva. It must be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do not rely on marking and writing down. And the same would apply over there, by the kinim, by those boxes where the people would prepay for these birds, they would not write choiva, because even if you write it, it's not sufficient, and the money of the boxes could get confused, and you'll end up buying a chatos with oila money, or oila with chatos money, and that's possible. Asks the Gemara, Meisve, we're now asking a question against Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that the reason that Rav Yehuda says that there were no shofros, no money boxes for the kinei choiva, was taroivus, and Rav Yosef says, what's the taroivus? That the choiva and the nadova are going to get confused. We have a question against that. Because we learnt in a Mishnah in Maseches Shkolim, Shloish Esrei shofros hayu b'migdosh. There were 13 shofaris in the Beis HaMikdosh. V'hoyo kosov aleim, it says explicitly in the Mishnah, that they would write on the boxes what they were for, and they would rely on what they've written on the boxes. And what are these 13? So on one of them, taklin chadatin, it would say, new shkolim, the shkolim of that year. On the second box, it would say, v'taklin atikin. If you didn't bring your shekel, your half a shekel from last year, bring it this year. And they wouldn't use it for the korbanos of this year, they would do with it whatever they did with these old shkolim. And on the third box it would say v'kinin, which is these birds that people would come and donate. The third one, on the fourth box, it would say v'goizle oila, the goizolis, the doves, the pigeons of the, means these are the young pigeons which are oilois. That would be the fourth box. On the fifth box, it would say eitzim, v'eitzim. If somebody wanted to donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash, they would put the money in that box. In the sixth box, it would say levoino. Somebody wanted to donate this spice, this levoino, that would be put. The money would be put in the sixth box. Vezov lekapeires. If somebody wanted to donate gold to be used for the clay shoris, for the vessels used in avoda, that would be on the seventh box. So there we have seven boxes, each with a name written on them. Veshisha lenadava, and there would be another six boxes for where it would say on the boxes nadava for donations. And now the Mishnah explains taklin chadatin, the box that said on it the new shkolim elu shkolim shel kol shana v'shana, that was the shkolim that was brought each year. Taklin atikin, that second box where it says that the old shkolim is mishalei shokel ishtakid, anyone who didn't bring the shekel, the half a shekel from the year before, yishkei l'shana haba, he'll have to bring it the next year and it would go into this box. Kinin, what was the box that was said on it? Kinin, what was that for? Hein toirim, those were doves. Goizle oila, the goizle oila, hein bnei yoina, are the young pigeons. The kulon oilis, and these are all donations. Divrei Reb Yehuda. So you see that this is the opinion of Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda says, this is Reb Yehuda speaking, and it says v'hoya kosuv aleim, he would write on each of the 13 boxes what they were for. So you see that Reb Yehuda does rely on writing, and one doesn't get confused in which one would write. If so, why do you not have a box for kinei chayva? Just write on it, it's kinei chayva. That was the question of the Gemara. That was the Meisvei. Says the Gemara, ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omer said as follows, Omri b'marova, in Eretz Yisrael they would explain as follows, why there was no box to put all the money that was given for these sets of birds, of chayva, that would have in it a chatos n'oila. Gezeira mishum chatos shemesu ba'alel. Just imagine 10 people brought money, you've got the coins of 10 sets of birds here, and just imagine, maybe one of, by the time you offer up these korbonis, one of the people have died. And we know there's Aloch HaLameshi Mesinai, that a korban chatos of somebody who's died is mesu. You cannot offer it up. So if maybe somebody died, and you never know that one of these 10 didn't die, then there's the coins here that are chatos, which is mesu ba'aleo, and you're not allowed to be used. And since you don't know which coins they are, you have to put all the coins in the Yam HaMelech, you have to throw them all away. Says the Gemara, Michai Shinon, can that be that we are afraid that maybe someone's going to die? But none, we learned explicitly in a Mishnah in Gittin, HaShaleach Chatosim Medinas Hayom, if somebody sends a korban chatos from abroad, Makrivin Oisoi, we're allowed to shecht it and put on the Mizbeach, Becheskas Shukayim, with the assumption that he's still alive. We don't assume people to die. So why over here, with the box of the Nchoiva, do we assume that maybe somebody will die? Says the Gemara, no, you're right. If we don't know somebody died, we assume he's alive. What happens if 10 people come, one of them is Reuven, and a few hours later you hear that Reuven died? It's not a shema, it's not maybe. You heard that he passed away. If so, you know that in this box there's now money of Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleo, and Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleo, it cannot be used, so all the coins will have to be thrown out. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why? What would be the issue? If you heard that one of the people died, take four zuz and designate four zuz of this box, and throw them into the sea, and all the rest will be kosher. And how would you do that? You would say breira. Breira means a retroactive clarification. All the coins are mixed together, and we don't know in any case which coins belong to which person, which korban. We just take it out and we say, that this coin is now for this person, this korban. So just take out four coins and say these four zuz are Reuven's korbanis. The Reuven died, we'll throw them out and the other coins will be okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda lesli brera. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this concept called retroactive clarification. And since you cannot clarify retroactively, it must be that the status that was initially, the person who put the coins that was initially put in by Reuven, those are Reuven's coins and you don't know which one they are. If you don't know which ones they are and you cannot rely that I'll clarify later which coins will be attributed to Reuven, then I don't know which coin it is. I have to throw all the coins away. And that would make sense. So the Rabbi Yehuda says that you cannot have a box for these kinei choiva. Minolon. What would be the source that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of retroactive clarification, which we're going to call boira? And the answer to this question, Emirat Hashem, we're going to learn in the next shiur.